Hello, everybody. Welcome to the present. Stand up on your feet and let's praise the Lord.
Y'all ready to praise the Lord?
Rejoice and we will be the storm. Too good to hide. Was a blind man wandering until he saw the light. I've got a story I can't deny. I'm a living, breathing miracle, and I just want to testify.
To worship you.
you to take joy. Say, take joy.
Take joy.
Oh,
worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We worship.
Father, we come to you right now just thanking you and giving you the glory that you deserve. What a beautiful presence of the Lord is here right now. If you have a need, we just need to cry out to God right now and say, Lord, hear my need, oh God. You are our supplier. You are our resource. Lord, we thank you for being here with us today. We thank you for your mercies, your love. God, for they endure forever, God. Lord, we thank you for this time of gathering to worship you, to praise you, and to uplift your holy name. I don't know about anybody else, but my soul doth magnify the Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we ask, don't let us lose our focus on you. Lord, with things in this world going crazy, God, let us continue to focus on you. Let that living water spring up from within our soul, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, let us attract those that need to drink from that living water. God, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless this service, bless this church, those that are watching, God. Move in a mighty way. Lord, you are so good. God, we just ask, Lord, when we start feeling those pings of discouragement, that we remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Mm.
And Lord, we ask that you help us set our priorities, God. Lord, in this end time, Lord, we need our priorities straight. Lord, help us to set the standards, God, that you want us to live by. And Lord, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory because we know you're as close as the mention of your name.
Mm. Yes.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy and righteous is he. Lord, we just ask that the remainder of this service be anointed with your presence. Be anointed with the Spirit of God. And Lord, we ask your anointing on our pastor. Lord, we ask anointing on our leaders of this build of this church. We just ask, Lord, for your will to be done here, God. Move in a mighty way, God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. If you got something to praise God, can we just raise our hands one more time? Call out and thank him for his goodness.
Give God a good hand praise this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Wonderful Jesus. Let's do our affirmation prayer. Everyone together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. And I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2 that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Come on, just turn to two or three people and say, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. We want to take this time to welcome our online viewing audience, as Pastor Marvin L. Winans calls it, the cyber sanctuary. So we want to welcome you to the presence this morning. We pray that everything that you need in your life, whatever that need is, God is near. And just as Sam prayed, he's as close as the mention of his name. So just call out to him this morning. I know that the presence of the Lord is there where you are. So just allow him to minister to you today. Again, thank you for joining us here at the presence. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to see. It's so good to see Stella here this morning. Where'd she go? I know. Just let him do what he's doing. It's okay. We'll get to him in a moment. But again, it's good to see Stella, and it's so good to see Naya back in the house this morning. We miss your face. We love you so much, and it's so good to see you. So good to see you. You all got to make sure you hug her neck before you leave today. Amen. So I want to just let Pastor Alvin, he is modeling our new tee. I have on the hoodie. Let's do it, baby. This is because we are a whosoever. It says, I am a whosoever, John 3:16. Come on, if you are whosoever, give God a hand praise. We are selling these in the back. I see Stella bought hers and put it on. I ain't even mad at her. So we just wanted to model them for you today. They do fit true to size, so get yours in the back. We were selling some earlier before church started, so, and they're going fast. So if you want one, you need to go after church and purchase your hoodie, which is $30, and the tees are $15. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, it's good to be in the presence. Look at somebody and say, it's good to be in the presence. Well, God is good. And Naya, it's so good to see you. How you doing, Naya? Did you want to come up and say anything? Just kind of say hi to everybody. And come here, Naya. Come on. Tell everybody where you've been, where you're at, where you're going. She just looks so cute. And tell everybody your rank, title, all that kind of stuff. Fill us in. Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi, church. Airman first class. I'm currently in Guam, stationed in Guam. So it's warmer over there. Like literally all year round. I was here for a finance conference, which is unusual for a E3. So I'm very blessed. it's good to visit. I do leave Friday. I know. Too early, but it's good to see everyone. And I hope I just want to bottle this up and take this with me to Guam. Awesome.
Well, we love you. Let's put your hands this way. Come here, sweetheart, real quick. And let's just give her just a good presence blessing. Father, we thank you for Naya. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life right now. And we just pray protection on her. We pray your presence on her. We pray favor overflow in her life, in every area of her life, God. And we let the devil know that she hands off in the name of you can't touch her. Thank you, God, that angels of protection all around her, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for just a great week with her family. And may she just enjoy this time and keep her safe as she travels back to Guam in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to, let's give her a t-shirt or a hoodie. On the house. On the house. All right. No James. Well, thank God for his presence. Hallelujah. You know, all this week has been cold. It's been an observance of Black History Month. And if our presence cruisers wouldn't mind, they've been styling and profiling all month. And I just, could you just walk across? Could you please? Would y'all mind the presence cruisers? Come on. All the presence cruisers are dressed in their Black History sit down James. Andrea, come on now. All of the present, put on a little. Okay. All right. All right. All right. Here comes Dad and his. All right. Come on. Just look at her. All right. Look at Mama Essie and Linda Oglesby. Come on. Come on, Ali. Look at that. Look. All right, Gene. Jerry, I mean, all right, look at there. Woo, look at that. Wakanda forever. Look at that. It's beautiful. That is so neat. Come on now. Give him a hand. It's our presence cruiser, styling and profiling. All right. Give him a hand. That's awesome. That's good. Thank the Lord. Mm-mm. Somebody said it's, thank you. Somebody said it's been cold, but it's getting ready to get warm again. Tomorrow it's going to be like 70 something. Thank God for weather. Means I get to play some golf this week. Y'all know the Lord speaks to me on the golf course, right? It's our sanctuary. Oh. Well, everybody have a good week? Everybody still expecting favor overflow? Amen. Let's continue to pray. There's a little bug going around, and I know some of our family caught it, and there's a few out with it today, and we just pray continued blessings on them. And let's just continue to pray for our church. Amen. And this week we do have our Wednesday family night. And I want to just thank Gavin for playing the drums for us this morning. Man, I tell you what. And Johnny had a little day off, but he was all in it with the sound. Just got his little, you know, iPad on his, just doing everything. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what in the world I was thinking. Johnny thinks Apple is from the devil. He just, all right. I apologize, Red. I apologize. It's so funny. I've done this many times. I'll be preaching and I'll just use it as an example, you know, and I'll just say, And you know, Johnny said, and I'm not talking about him, but I'm just using a hypothetical name, and he'd be like, "What? Why me?" But thank God for Gavin helping us on the drums, and just appreciate the Bonners, appreciate all of our church members, and those, even those who watch online, our cyber family, cyber church family. And God is doing something in this earth, and I would just encourage you to not be distracted by everything that's happening in our world politically, and all that's happening even in other arenas, the sports world and entertainment. There's always going to be something, but it's important that we watch and pray. And I would say do more praying than watching. Amen. And so let's just continue to believe God here in this house for favor overflow. Listen, there are people in Owosso and around Owosso that need to be here, that need to experience the presence of God and the Word of God, uncompromising preaching of the Word of God and the power of God. And so let's just continue to believe together for favor overflow. And our prayer is that the favor of the Lord would be upon us and confirm the work of our hands. That's our prayer this year. Everybody say favor overflow. Okay, I'm going to say favor and you say overflow. Ready? Favor? Flavor? Favor? All right. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a praise right there. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 6th chapter. 2 Samuel 6. Lift that Bible up, or whatever you have, phone, and just say this: I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Say it again: I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're speaking in this house. I pray that we have ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, I'm going to read 2 Samuel 6, verse 9 through 11. 2 Samuel 6, verse 9 through 11. You ready? So David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David, Jerusalem, with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all, everybody say all his household. Now, this story is also in 1 Chronicles. They sort of mirror each other. So I'm going to also read 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. And it reads slightly different. And I'll bring out one of those differences here in just a little bit. 1 Chronicles 13, verses 12 through 14. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God home to me?" So David did not take the ark with him to the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Thus, the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom with all that he had. I want to use as a subject this morning, who's holding your house? Who's holding your house? Just to give you a little background, when we pick up where we are reading this scripture, what had happened was that David became king and he said, "Let's bring the Ark of Covenant back to Jerusalem." And they tried to do it, but they didn't do it right. They put it on a cart, and that wasn't what God wanted. You don't put the presence of God on a cart. And so what happened is Uzzah, one of Abinadab's, I'll tell you about him in a minute, reached out to steady the ark and touched the ark, literally basically touching the presence of God. And God killed him. And so when that happened, that's where we pick it up, where it says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day because God had just killed somebody during church. They were celebrating bringing the ark back. Okay? There was singing and everything, and right in the middle of church. All right. So then David said, it says that David said, I was afraid of the Lord that day. Okay. So getting to the purpose for this message, who's holding your house? First of all, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, one of my absolute favorite. I just love it. I love the fact that there's this guy named Obed-Edom just chilling at his house. He has no idea what's happening. And all of a sudden, this is what he hears. Now, if Obed-Edom was a brother, he'd be like, who is it? He opens the door, and there's King David and his men, and they've got this box of gold. And they're saying, we need to put this in your house. And he's like, well, why? Well, because somebody touched it, and they dead. And Obed-Edom is like, and you want to put it in my house? And so, as the story goes, the ark comes into his house, and Obed-Edom's life is changed forever. And so, the reason I'm here because this year and in the last couple of weeks, as I have been praying, I have been claiming the blessing of Obed-Edom. God, I claim the blessing of Obed-Edom. Come on, say, God, I claim the blessing of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, listen, Obed-Edom, you want to see favor overflow? That's it right there. Obed-Edom experienced favor overflow when the presence of God came in his house. He experienced the favor overflow of God in just 3 months. When the presence of God came in his, everything changed for the better for Obed-Edom when the presence of God entered his house. Everybody just look at somebody and ask them, who's holding your house? So the ark represented the manifest presence of God amongst Israel during their journey to the promised land. It was the holy piece of furniture that God designated as the place where his presence would reside. And notice in our two texts, in 2 Samuel, it is referred to as the ark of the Lord. And in 1 Chronicles, it's referred to as the ark of God. God wanted a place where he could commune with man, and this was the place where God spoke to Moses, the ark. Just by way of the history of the ark of the Lord, I'm not turning to any of these scriptures, I'm just giving reference. In Exodus, the 25th chapter, that's where God gives the instruction on how to build the ark and what it was for. And, you know, God told Moses how to build it, how big to build it, what to put on it, what it was supposed to be made of. And then at the end, verse 22, I believe it says, and there I will commune with you. That's the place where I'm going to meet you. And then in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, that's you know the story about when God called Samuel. Well, Samuel was sleeping near the Ark of the Covenant, and God called out to him from the Ark of the Covenant, said, Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli and ran and said, well, did you call me? No. But it was God who called him. Then for years, the Philistines captured the Ark and kept it, fumbled around with it for years until they gave it back to the Israelites in 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verse 21. And then the inhabitants of Kiriath-Jearim went and got the ark from the Philistines and brought it to the house of Abinadab, the house of Abinadab. Now, Abinadab had three sons, Eleazar, Ahio, and Uzzah. And Uzzah was the one who touched the ark and got killed. Okay. And so the ark stayed at Abinadab's house for 20 years until David came in Second Samuel, the 6th chapter, and 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter. He came and got it the first time, and that's when Uzzah touched it and was killed. And then after the first attempt failed, the ark was taken to Obed-Edom's house and remained there for 3 months. Now, the ark came to Obed-Edom's house because David and his leaders had an epic failure in trying to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. I mentioned that. And that's why it says, and I want to mention this again, that it says, and on that day, David was afraid of the Lord. I think that's one of the things that we've lost in Christendom. I think that's one thing that we've lost in the body of God. We're so busy trying to please people and trying to do things to make people comfortable that we have totally forgotten about what God requires and what He desires, and we've lost a genuine fear and reverence for God. If there has been, you know, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, I'm not going to rehash all that, but here's my point. I think because we know we have grace, we do things, we allow ourselves to get into our flesh and do things that we know that we shouldn't do because we have grace, there's no fear. There's no fear of what God can and could do to you. God knows my heart. Yeah? Whew. And so we've lost that fear. I just have to say it like this because we're so God is such a loving God. What kind of God would, I'll tell you what kind of God, God will kill you. He could. If it wasn't for the grace of God. But you better live like you don't have grace. Woo! David was afraid of God on that day. David had a real, I need you to feel this. David had a real and legitimate fear that God was going to kill somebody else if they didn't do things right. That fear was so strong that it took David 3 months to get over it. He was afraid. Some of y'all, I'm not going to point out who, but some of y'all would not be coming back to the presence for a while if somebody just dropped dead in service. We've lost the fear of God. I bet if we were in church and all of a sudden out of nowhere you heard this, my people, good morning, the presence. I know you love me, but I have an ought against you. So next Sunday, if you come to the church and your heart ain't right, I will kill you. Stella said, church be empty. So y'all be calling up each other. You going to church? No. I think I'm going to watch online. We've lost the fear. We've lost the fear. We've lost the fear. Now you're gonna understand this here in a little bit, but I'm gonna jump a few pages ahead of myself and say our children have lost the fear of their parents, and that's why we got a country that's going crazy. Because we've lost the fear. God never put anybody in time out. He put them in captivity. He said, you're going to do me like that? The one who created you? The one who brought you out? You're going to do like that to me? Okay, there you go. We've lost the fear. Our country has lots of fear. Our country citizens have lost fear and mistrust of the government. Our country is in trouble. The church is in trouble because we've lost the fear of God and the fear and reverence that people should get and respect of people that God has placed in leadership. They're not getting the respect, and so we're all messed up. David was afraid of the Lord that day. All right, so the key text, I want you to see a couple of things in 2 Samuel 6 and 11. It says, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. He didn't stop there. And it says, and all his family, household. Yeah, familia. The presence of God being brought into Obed-Edom's house. Something happened to my mic. Okay. The presence of God, thank you, being brought into Obed-Edom's house was a game changer. Y'all remember that show? Some of y'all remember that show? Oh, what's it called? Cribs. Is that what it's called? Where they would show somebody's house and here's my crib, y'all. And they, Obed-Edom wasn't on that show before this, but when he got the presence, y'all ain't gonna believe it, Obed-Edom. Y'all ain't gonna believe it. Look, come on. It's crazy. There's the presence. Don't touch it. Obed-Edom, before the presence of God came into Obed-Edom's house, his grass was all brown and looking all crazy. But when he got the presence, grass green, flowers, his whole family, his whole household, game changer. And I'm sure, here's the thing, I'm sure Obed-Edom had no idea what was getting ready to happen when he got that knock on his door. But talk about unexpected blessings upon blessings. Obed-Edom blew up. Blessings. But here's the thing I want you to see. And all his what? Can you say it again? And all his household. Who's holding your house? All his household. That word household, I just want to deal with that just for a little bit. That word household means house band. House band. House band. It does mean family. House band. Household. Now hear me. Household. The word household, as used in Scripture, extended beyond the family members currently living under one's roof. I'm going to say that again. The word household, as used in Scripture, extended beyond the family members currently living under one's roof. This is the way God views the family unit. Right now, everybody, right now, those in here watching, right now, I want you to count the members of your immediate family. Count the members of your immediate family. You got it? Got that number? Our immediate family, we got six. Four of them are here right now. Just hold on, Lindsay. I'm not excluding you. I'm getting ready to get you. In God's eyes, that is our household. Now, I will tell you that right now, there are only three of the six that live currently under my roof, our roof. Me, Pastor Sonola, and Shannon, who have said many times she's never leaving. She tried and she came back. All right? But according to Scripture, according to God's design, my household does not include just us three. I'll show you. Here's an example. God saved Noah and his entire family. Is that right? He did? Yeah. God's instruction was, no, I want you to build an ark, and after you build the ark, I want you to get you and your wife, your three sons, and their wives. Right? So this included his wife, three grown sons, and their wives. See, now, Lindsay, you're in. They weren't all, listen, I need you to hear this. Noah, his wife, three adult sons and their wives. I need you to look at me right in the eye. They didn't all live under the same roof. No, no, no. They didn't. No, they did not all. Noah had to go to the individual houses of his three sons to tell them what God said. Now, here is a verse that will bear this out. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, not yet seen, in reverence, Noah, in reverence, in fear, in reverence to God, prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, of his household, not the salvation of the people currently under his roof." Did y'all get that? "By which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." So Noah's household was his immediate family, wherever they lived at the time. And remember, God specifically told Noah to go tell his three sons and their wives, because God thinks generationally. Everybody say household. So now my four children, even now as grown adults, are still a part of our household. That's kingdom order. That's God's kingdom order. And I mention this because here's the reason I mention this, because I kind of alluded to it earlier. There's just a whole lot of craziness going on with families and all this kind of stuff. And we're first of all, we've lost the fear of God, and we don't understand how God sees family. The patriarch and matriarch of families, that's just not an honorary title. That has spiritual significance. Mom and Dad Mixon are a patriarch and matriarch of their family. They've got how many kids? 10? How many? 6. Adult children. They are the patriarch and matriarch of the family. Spiritual significance. All of our children have told us stories about how they were somewhere. I've heard it from all four. "Dad, I was somewhere, you know," I think one time Tariq was at a car dealership in Texas trying to buy a car. And whoever the salesperson was looked at her and said, "Wait a minute. Aren't you Pastor Alvin's daughter?" Even Jesus, as an adult, was referred to as, Ain't that Joseph's carpenter son? Still a part of the household. Still a part. See, that's what God means when he says your children's children will be blessed. Because God thinks generationally. But there has to be order. Children are blessed because of their connection to who God has placed in their lives. So if your children are around you right now, just look at them and say, "You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome." Are you understanding this? See, if I was Noah today, and God told me to build an ark and bring my household in the ark, I wouldn't just tell Pastor Sanola and Shannon. Shannon's like, "Dang it." She's trying to get more room in the ark. Look at her. No. I would be group texting all four of my adult kids and saying, "Look, this is what God said that needs to happen. That's two in Owosso, that's one in Texas, and one in the Oklahoma City area. Now, I can't make them come. Can't make them come, but they would do good to listen to the patriarch." If you're listening to me right now and your parents are still living, I'm talking to children, doesn't matter how old you are, but listen. In God's eyes, they're the ones, they're still blessings that can come into your life if you respect and honor the patriarch and matriarch of the family. All right. And so now here's the thing. If I didn't tell them, all four of them, I know my kids. If I didn't tell all four of them, they'd be like, Dad, as they're treading water. Why didn't you tell us? You know why? Like, parents know this. Because children always want to be a part of the household when blessings are being passed out. Hi, Dad. It's interesting, and as I was studying this, I thought, man, this would be a great Father's Day message, but because it does have some truth in relation to fathers and the patriarch and even and the matriarch being honored, and honor doesn't stop when you're 18. Yeah. All right. So it's interesting that husband comes from the British word steward, which means to manage another's property. God placed the husband, as the head over the house band to manage his property and be a faithful steward over it. That's proper order. Turn with me to Acts the 16th chapter. Come on, everybody say, who's holding your house? Everybody say, favor flow! Acts 16, here's a, who's this? 16, verse 25. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Exodus 16, verse 25. But about midnight, this is Paul and Silas were in jail. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he was responsible, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after that, he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the jailer. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." God wants your whole household saved. Your whole household. That's God's desire. That's the word of the Lord. He wants your whole household saved. Jesus said in Revelations 3:20, I want you to see this picture. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." I've read this scripture many, 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 many times, but now I'm going to read it again. Watch. "Behold, I stand at the door and do what? If any man hears my what? Not my knock." So not only is God knocking, he's saying, "Please, I'm trying to help you. Let me into your house. Let me into your heart." He's knocking, but he's also speaking. And he is referring to the door of, in that scripture, he's referring to the door of our hearts. But that can also refer to the door of your household. I want you to picture this, that God is standing at the door of your household, your family, and he's saying, "Please, let me in. I can help you. I can work that out." Your household really represents your heart, because the scripture says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." God desires to take up residence in our households. We desperately need God's presence in our households. The enemy is at work in our households. The enemy is wreaking havoc. Micah 7:6, and this is the New King James Version. Micah 7:6 says, "For son dishonors father, Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Whew. Turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24, doing a little teaching today. Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42 says, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." Parents, we have to cry loud and spare not, and tell our children, listen, the Lord's coming. We don't know when he's coming. Everybody blink your eye. He could have come right then. We don't know. It's going to be like a thief in the night. And look, here's the thing that is our worst enemy. Many of us have heard that for years, and it hasn't happened yet. So we don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But just when you least expect it, right when you're getting ready to sit down for that wonderful dinner, you're going to find yourself sitting at the Lord's table in heaven. Thief in the night. So here's my point. We must tell our children, young and old, that there's a storm coming, Noah. There's a storm coming. Something is not right now in our nation, in our country. There's craziness. Even creation is groaning. If you look over history, there have been more natural disasters that have taken place. This is not an accident. There's a storm coming, and you better build an ark. You better take your household under your spiritual wings and make sure that God is holding your household. It's not always popular to give the truth and tell the truth and bring correction. It's not always popular, but I would rather you be mad at me and me tell you the truth than to be lost. We need to put the fear and reverence of God back into them, back in our children. Just amazes me when children backtalk at their parents, young and old. Both of my parents are in heaven, but growing up, I did it once. I paid for it. I love mom and dad. I would never disrespect them or try to. I want you to see this, because in God's eyes, they're here and I'm here. Now, I've struggled with that because I'm their pastor. So sometimes we have to work through things, but I would never point to them and say, "You need to do this," or have you lost your mind? That's out of order. It's out of order. Listen, can I just say this to you? And I don't know why I'm... Listen, parents, in God's eyes, they don't have to earn their children's respect. The respect is there because God placed it there. Now, listen, let me qualify that. That's saved parents doing the right thing. I'm not... Okay? Let's not talk about the craziness where you got parents that are abusing and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when we're in a Christian home and the parents are living for God, trusting God, raising their kids. There's order. That's the household order. Let me show you a little bit more. All right. God blessed. Okay, so our text in 1 Chronicles 13:14 says, "And the Lord bless the what?" Do we have that scripture up? Give me 1 Chronicles 13:14. Yeah, we're going to do that pretty soon.
you good? You good?
We all good. First Chronicles. Okay. What did I say? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I want you to see this. This is so cool. So thus the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed too. That represents the household. He blessed the family of Obed-Edom with all that who had? Who got the blessing first? Blessed the whole family with all that God gave him. Now, when we talk about the patriarch or matriarch, you may be one in your house, the leader in your house, single mom or whoever is the head of the house. That is the one that God has placed as the head of the house. God blessed the family through the head. It's sort of like that picture in Psalm 133, where it talks about the blessing flowing down from the priest, Aaron's beard, down. Whoever's the head of the family is really the spiritual head, the priest of the family. And the blessings flow from the head down. That's God's design. So listen, I know I've said a lot about households and families, but I think sometimes we miss it. I'm just saying we miss it. We miss it. Parents, can I just tell you something? Because I'm getting free. But anytime, when we've got our kids all serve the Lord and love the Lord and it's all good. But anytime it's gonna happen. Anytime any of your kids, young or old, raise their fist at you, and I'm not figuratively, because I mean we all know that if that was little, it'd be done. It'd be. I love it. Anytime your children raise up in whatever way, don't argue. Tell them what they need to hear. Give them the truth and then let it go and then give it to God. God's gonna deal with it. Can I just say something to you? I don't know why I'm saying it, but you know, in biblical times, children back then, They had fear and reverence for their parents. You know why? Because if they didn't, I hate to say it, but yeah, they would get stoned. Thank God we're under grace. Because I was about to pick up a stone the other day. But here's the thing. Here's my point. I am a little hot. Charles, here's the thing, but the fear's not there. The reverence is not there in today. But God hasn't changed. That's my point. God has not changed. So anytime your children, young or old, raise up and say things they shouldn't say or whatever and try to tell you how to parent or you did this, that, da, 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 you know, it's not there. What? Yeah, I know. I just wanted to stop. Yeah. Anytime that happens, you just give it to the Lord. Give them to the Lord and let God work that out. Because they've touched something that they shouldn't touch. Just let God work that out. Okay? Just let them work it out. You know, here's the thing. Last thing I'm going to say about this. You know the scripture that says, Ephesians, I think it's 6, three, somewhere in there, six. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So that your days may be longer. Okay, that doesn't mean that God's going to kill your children. Okay? Now, you may want him to do that, but that's not what it's saying. But what it does, mean is that a child's life is going to be more difficult, and who knows? It's up to God. I would say it like this. Honor your parents at all times so that you don't even entertain the possibility that you're going to lose years off of your life, or your life isn't going to go as well, because God's not going to bless disorder. All right, y'all. All right, okay. Ooh, baby, girl, you better come up here.
I just want to say this. Honoring your parent, you're able to honor your parent even if your parent is wrong. They can be in left field, and you still, as unto God, honor them. It doesn't mean that they always get it right, but you can get it right in honoring them. And you're doing that with the help of the Lord. Just because they may do something wrong, you don't have to disrespect them or dishonor them in their wrongness. Same thing. Pray for them as you would pray for your children. Pray for your parent, because they're still a blessing, yes, that you will receive in honoring. And you're able to do it with the help of the Lord.
Thank you, baby. Let's give Pastor S a hand. You reminded me of something that's not in my notes. So let me just throw this out. There has never been a perfect parent. Do you believe that? Number two, there has never been a perfect child. So while you're trying to get that little splinter out of your parents' eyes, you need to get that big old plank out of your eye first. Everybody say, who's holding your household? Didn't mean to even get so deep into that, but okay. All right, bringing this to a close. This last page. Here's the last thing. Good Lord. The presence of God came into the household of Obed-Edom and totally changed his life and the life of his entire household. His entire household. So here's the takeaway. Get the presence of God in your house. Does that mean you're not going to ever do things that are quote unquote unspiritual, or watch TV or things like that? No. But you have a standard. You plant a flag in front of your house, not literally but figuratively, that says the presence of God resides here. And let all who enter understand. You're not coming up in my house cussing and all that kind of, you know, there ain't going to be a whole lot of craziness going on in this house. Because the presence of God is here. How many of you want the presence of God in your house? How many of you understand that if you have the presence of God in your house, it's going to make everything a lot better? Listen, you can tell when you go to somebody's house. You can tell right away. Oh, the Lord ain't here. I don't care where you look. Eh? Then you go to other houses and you just know right away. The presence of God is here. Joshua said it like this. As for me and my, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. God's going to hold our house. Last week, Pastor Ira spoke so wonderfully about going to church, you know. And he said that he used the scripture, where two or three are gathered together in my name. He said it like this: where two or three are gathered, that's church. He said that. I really like that. If that's true, and it is, where two or three are gathered in your house, in his name, that's church. Invite the presence of God into your home. The presence of God will hold your house together and shift the momentum in your favor. Listen, the church is made up of families, of households. Households come and gather together. Church is not a place where you come to do something that you haven't done all week. Church is a place where you come to sort of celebrate what you have been doing in your household all week. I used to wonder this. I've been preaching for a long time. Every so often after I preach, somebody would come up to me. Mom does it sometimes. You know, that very thing you preach is what the Lord said to me early this week. And back in the day, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm just trying to act all spiritual. But the reality is, God's not confused. And you should come on Sunday to have confirmed what God has been speaking to you all week. You shouldn't be coming on Sunday. I'm preaching right now. You shouldn't be coming on Sunday to try to hear something. Pastor, help me. I've fallen and I can't get up. No, you should. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. God been speaking to me. So now when I say, all right, turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, somebody should be saying, oh, that's it, Pastor. That's it. Because we're all locked into the Spirit. Pastor shouldn't be the only one locked in. Everybody should be locked in. Because we are the household of God. And it doesn't matter where we live, but we're all a part of the family of God. And when the blessings begin to flow, and I've been praying, God, let it start with me. I'm the pastor. Let it start with me. The favor overflow, the anointing, let it flow down to every household. Come on, everybody, look at me. You're welcome. Come on, lift those hands right now and just say, God, be the Lord of my house. Hallelujah. Be the Lord of my house. It may be crazy right now. Maybe be the Lord of my household. I may have some children or people in my family that aren't acting right, but God, be the Lord of my household. I claim it now in the name of Jesus. I demand order to come in these families in the name of the Lord. Satan, you are a liar. You are a liar. You are a liar. You will not have our families. We claim it in the name of Jesus. I pray blessings and encouragement on every patriarch and matriarch, whoever is the head of the family. God, hold our households. Oh, my God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. And as we get in order, as our family, blessings will begin to flow. You think you're blessed now? Let me just tell you, when order comes, it will be blessings beyond what you could ever imagine. Jesus, before he fed the 5,000, because there are a couple of different times. But in this particular time, he said, tell everybody to sit down in groups. That's what he said. You know why he said that? Because God demands order before the blessing. Order. Order. The enemy understands. He's a liar, but the reason he can be a liar is because he understands the truth. He knows that a family who is locked in is unstoppable. So he's going to fight that. He's going to fight it. That's all right. I serve a mighty God. God holds our household. Now I've got to confess something. My kids, they're adult kids. All of them. I made a promise to them years ago. I haven't kept the promise yet. Shannon, do you want to come and tell the promise? You want to come tell it? You want to come tell what I promised y'all? Do you remember? You were the youngest.
Yeah.
Hi, baby. Be nice.
What I promise you.
Okay, yeah. So he promised us, but I think as if we did something, if we accomplished something, but I can't remember. Oh, ooh, well. he promised us he would take us to Hawaii on a plane with hamburgers.
We're going to serve you hamburgers.
Yeah. We would go to the airport in a limo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overflow, Lord.
So even, listen, if that's the one of the worst things I've ever done as a father, but even today, they'll remind me of that. They remind Dad, you remember you're gonna take us to Hawaii, you're gonna serve us hamburgers on a plane. And I said all that to say, in my heart, that's something that I still want to do. Haven't been able to do it yet, but I'm still living. My kids are still, you know, now I'm going to have to buy a few more tickets because now they got kids and spouses. But, man, I tell you what an awesome feeling for me to be able to do that. You know what I mean? But the point is a true patriarch has a desire not to just bless those under their roof, but to bless all those who are under their covering spiritually. Huh? Yes. Yeah. Y'all getting anything out of this? Family is important. Households are important. And we need to stick together. We need to not give place to the enemy in any way. And when that happens, the blessings will flow. Now, if you're in a situation right now that's difficult, just turn it over to the Lord. Just give it to Him. He's going to handle it. Just give it to Him. And just say, Lord, do your thing. I'm going to get in your presence. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Didn't mean for it to go this way, but you knew. You knew, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that our prayer is that you would hold our houses. We want you to be the Lord of our households. We want you, your presence, to be a part of to be in our house, to guide us, to keep us, to bless us. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice that are heads of their families, that you would just strengthen them and bless them and help them to know, God, that you have placed them in that position, in that role for a purpose. And God, give us courage to continue to speak into our children's lives and to share with them, even when they don't want to hear it. God, you chastise us because you love us. And in the same way, there are times when we need to chastise or bring correction to our children. They don't like it. That's okay. But God, we have to do what you've called us to do. So I pray blessing on every family. I pray for such a richness. I pray for healing. I pray for restoration. Where forgiveness needs to take place and where we're asking for forgiveness needs to take place. Sometimes the hardest thing to say is, I'm sorry. So God, we pray that every household in the presence would be a household that is full of your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, put those hands together and give God praise. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I want my whole, all my family, come up. If you're near your family, just kind of come on up to the top. Come on. What are you sitting there for? This is a part of the Frugier family. Love them so much. I can't tell you how honored and joyed, overjoyed I am to have my son and his family and Shannon as a part of this church. As here, you see them most of the time. You don't see Cambry and her husband Chris and their three children, and Tari and her five in Texas. But family is important. Family is important. And I just encourage you. I encourage you to not allow the enemy to build walls between members of your family. Amen. So, our family, we bless you in the name of the Lord. And we pray blessings on you. And we pray that God would increase you, and that there would be such a unity in your home, and that the peace of God would be in your home, and the presence of God would be in your home. In the name of the Lord. Amen. I just want to draw up here with me because I love y'all. I love y'all. I love you, Linz. Love you, girls. God is good. All right, thank you. Y'all can go sit down now. Let's go sit down.
I love you, man. I was going to tell a story about Michael. You want to tell it?
Yeah, we were living in Texas at the time, and Michael had been in school, and then he came to live with us for a while, and it was interesting because, you know, he was in his 20s or something like that, and he was a man now. I mean, he was, you know, I remember just looking at him one time and said, man, I got another man living up in my house. It was just kind of weird. I had to adjust, you know, and I remember one day he came in like out of his room or whatever, and he and his mom had already been having a little, you know, this, that kind of, you know, mom, you know, I'm a, you know, son, I'm a grown man now, that just that little tension stuff, and I hadn't really said anything yet, and he came out of his room and he didn't have a shirt on, and you know, he had been working out a little bit, you know, and you know, just kind of walking around like this was his house. And I remember thinking, oh, no, you got to go. You got to go. Talking up, you know, you're talking smart to my wife. You're walking around with no shirt on trying to, you got to go. And he went. Not right away, but just, you know, a couple of days later. All right. Now, good Lord, we could have a, Michael and I could have a podcast. I'm telling you, it would just, Lord. All right, let's give to the Lord. Amen. Let's give to the Lord. It's so good to see Estella here today. Love Estella. Love Estella. She comes to us about at least once a month, and we love her for that. Oh, you're right. She brought Eddie's Bible. He's coming. All right. Are you ready to give this morning? If you are, lift it up toward heaven. Lord, thank you that we are at the presence, just extravagant, bountiful, cheerful givers. Thank you. The seed that leaves our hand never leaves our life, but it goes into our future and multiplies. We thank you, God, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Give to the Lord. Hallelujah.
one is on.
Hello. So we have just a few announcements. This Wednesday night is family night right here at 7 o'clock, February 26th. Come spend an hour with us and let's have a nice little Bible study. It's a good middle week family encounter. And then March 5th is our first Wednesday family prayer. Stop laughing at me. You laughing at me. I know. Hurt my feelings. March 8th is the Circle 23 Men's Breakfast right here at 9 a.m. If you're part of that, come join. You'll enjoy it. March 15th is L3 Women's Breakfast. Woo-hoo-hoo! 9 o'clock. And then March 22nd is the 4th Saturday Prayer Push. And yes, I say that slow because it runs all together and I mess it up. So that will be here March 22nd, 8 a.m. Put that on your calendar. And then March 30th, put this on your calendar, 6 p.m. is going to be, drum roll please, Evening of Praise. It's been a while since we had one of those. I'm looking forward to that. And then this October 19th through the 20th is going to be our presence cruise. So reserve your cabin if you're looking to go for that. And then our Hide the Word monthly memory verse is, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And that is John 13:14. Oh, and be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram. Like, boop, share, get the word out. Somebody needs to hear that word, and I'm going to turn this over to Pastor.
Thank you. Stephanie said I was laughing there, but I sat down next to Mom, and Pastor Snow and I had made some food for Mom and Dad, and she took it over. I made a cast iron skillet pizza. And look at her. She really enjoyed that pizza, right? So after preaching this wonderful word, I go and sit by her, and she says, my pizza's gone. So I just started cracking up. So I'm sorry, Steph, I couldn't. My pizza's gone. Yeah, and it's good to have Mom back. She was, yeah, Mom back. Mom, I'll make you another pizza, okay? All right. Pastor Snow, I want to remind everyone that we have these T-shirts and hoodies in the back. Go get you one and let everybody know that you are a whosoever. So good to see Naya. Love you so much. And just pray blessings on you. All right, stand on your feet. We're ready to go home. If I could see the Easter production cast, just briefly, if you could come up to the front, just briefly, I'm going to see who we have here, all right? Lift those hands toward heaven, I give the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. We love you.